$250,000 a month. Now we do $250,000 a day. We made a fuckload of progress, didn't we?
How to build a team that can do all of the work for us.
We'll be doing $3 million a month. Why the fuck aren't they getting done at the front end? I'd like to see everybody winning. Success is about showing up.
Locked in the boardroom all day with no windows.
We need to make $100 million. We are back for another episode of Trade Mastermind, Trade Secrets. It's your favorite Italian brotherhood, Joseph Valente and Christopher Ruggiero. Well, okay, thanks, Chris. That was a great. Honestly, I couldn't ask for a better co-host. Yeah, this is like so equal.
The extrovert. I'm the introvert. That's how this goes. You speak and I react.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right, Chris. How's your day been?
Excellent.
Where have we been?
We're running the board meeting today for Trade Mastermind, Trade Group, Mike Green.
When can we go back, Izzy, to just me doing this show? Yeah, it's so much easier, I haven't got a pause, I ain't got a wait. Okay, sorry, where have we been?
Wansford. Haycock.
What have we been doing?
Board meeting today, so really good day. Looking at the inner workings as a Trade Mastermind, looking at the people, looking at the product, looking at the promotion, looking at all of the stuff that makes this business good. So it's been a great day and I've enjoyed it. Have you?
What did you learn?
Not a lot. I know everything already. What did you learn?
I learned that you know everything already, apparently. Can we start seeing that in action then, please? There's always this weird balance between me and Chris saying that we know everything. Chris actually believes that he does. I know that I do. And that's the disconnect. So, no, you know, the fact
always
is...
Always more to learn.
Fucking no, I nearly fell off my chair. Anyway. You feeling all right? You are looking a bit pale. I don't know whether that's because I'm naturally looking really orange or you're looking a bit pale.
I'm just locked
either
in the
way.
Office, locked in the boardroom all day with no windows. Lack of vision.
What happens after a little while is I just start to pace the room. It was a great board meeting, but we were in there from 10 till, what's the time now? 4:30, so it's a lot of time. But it just goes to show for you guys really how much time you should be spending working on your business, not just in your business. It costs time, it costs money, but your ability to scale up will be in direct proportion to the time that you allocate to plan. And it's always difficult to plan. We're no masters at planning, but we focus way more time now on planning than what we used to. And that's where the progress is. You know, and there was a period of time where we would meet every morning at 6 till 8 o'clock before everybody started. And honestly, I look back over that, it was kind of mid last year. We made a fuckload of progress, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, when you get focused on looking ahead, disciplined on actually focusing on the important stuff in the business, that's where serious growth happens.
What do they say?
I don't know. What do they say?
You know what they say.
They say a lot of things.
6 months of focus, dedication, and hard work can put you 5 years ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's true. I think, I don't know about you guys, but, and I don't know about you, but we certainly make this mistake time and time again and still make it, is you just fall into the rut of the day to day. And without that pre-planned meeting in, knowing that all it is that you're talking about is a future state, you kind of just get wrapped up into what's required on a day-to-day basis. And then you suddenly kind of almost consciously wake up one day and you think, where the hell am I? How have I ended up here?
That's only when you've had too much to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
That's only at the Christmas party when Chris is 12 limoncellos deep.
Yeah, bad times. You genuinely get lost in the day-to-day if you don't focus on the planning and having conversations about the future. And you consciously have to make sure that meeting is in, I find.
A lot of the meeting today was about scaling up. You know, that's my favorite subject. It's what gets me excited. And, you know, we talk a lot about perfect repeatable week. We spent a lot of time in July, and I want to share this because it's important. In actual fact, we came back May. Came back from our Marbella business retreat. And one of the things that Chris said, and believe it or not, I do listen to what he says. From time to time, and he's got a lot of good way of phrasing things up. And it was, I'd rather be at the bottom of the right ladder than halfway up the wrong one. And, you know, I've made the mistake many times before of, you know, knowing deep down that we're halfway up the wrong one and keep pushing forward. And experience allowed to not make that same mistake. And it meant we cut cost and we changed strategy and we had to go back to basics and rebuild. And, you know, that model that we did back last June, the event strategy model, is now delivering, you know, 750,000 a month, where we'd plateaued at 250,000 a month at a push, and we were working insanely hard for it.
That would have been a good month, 250,000 back then. Yeah.
250,000 a month. Now we do 250,000 a day. Yeah. So you see how far we've come since last May to now. And that's mad progress. But it was because of that dedication and that time. And that hard work every morning, just showing up, putting the basics in and building the blueprint from scratch that we now have 35 people executing on. So, you know, we can disappear on a Friday for a whole day and then come back and jump straight into a podcast and the business is moving forward. So, you know, let that be a lesson to each and every one of you. And what we spoke about today was just scaling up that model. And the question always is right, well, we're running 9 events. How are we going to get to 12 events? Then we said, how are we going to get to 15? And then by, when is it? September, we're going to try and aim to be at 20 events a month. So that's 5 events a week, or, okay, consecutive events over consecutive days. When we get to 20 events a month or 5 events a week, we'll be doing 3 million a month. That'd be a 36 million turnover business. We should make somewhere in the region of about 9 million profit a year off that business. So sooner the better. And sets us up nicely for 2025, where realistically we want to be aiming for, you know, that 100 million number. We've had it in the radar since we pretty much started. And I remember through lockdown in my apartment when we started this business, we said about 100 mil. We said we were going to do it by 35. And we're both 35 this year, okay? But we didn't write off the 35th year. So we still have technically until you're July and I'm September. So we have until basically July 2025. Because it's got to be done by you who've done it, or we've kind of failed on it. So we need to make 100 million in the next, what month is it? April. So about 17 months. No, about 15 months, which realistically isn't that unachievable, to be honest, if we scale. So
the strategy is there now. We know that the product is good. The market is good. We get results for the clients. It's just about linear growth and execution on building the team. I think one thing that we're trying to get a lot better at the minute is looking at the character traits of our team, looking at how we hold our team to account in the best way so that we get the most out of them and we can look after the team. We're investing lots in HR. So underpinning that infrastructure is really where, as opposed to doing all of the work, which is what we've done all the time, now we're in this position of figuring out the best way of how to build a team that can do all of the work for us. And that's really what we need to get really, really good at over this next.
Do you know what I'm liking at the moment with what we're doing a lot is redeploying resources, is redeploying them effectively. Mm. Yeah, we've deployed them and then sometimes we leave them. And then the fact is just that slight move or change from the role that they're doing or the department that they're in or the strategy that they're on changes the game for that individual and the company. And so it's exciting to constantly look at your people. I mean, what I do each morning at the moment is I have a whole list of people delivered to me of all the people we have working. And I look at the names. Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Who's doing what? And are they adding value to our organization? What could they be doing if they're not delivering what they're doing now? And have they got traits that we want to nurture and grow and develop and keep them in? Or is it time for them to go? But the fact is, okay, that redeployment strategically changes the game. We've made a couple of moves upstairs in our marketing team and we've changed the game for our events booking team. So it's been really good, yeah? And we've learned that actually there is a breakdown of the breakdown, and you know, you can segment your strategies into much The more micro focus that you have on a certain area, the better the results become. When you build, you go macro because if you can only afford one marketing manager, they have to do everything. If you can only afford one sales manager, they have to do everything. And as the business grows and you can hire more people, you can get segregation of roles, which means you can split out the roles, and then you can split out the tasks, and then you can split out all of those little elements that allow people to perfect their sector rather than having to be a generalist. They become a specialist. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're kind of trying to do now, is deploying people to be specialists, and we're seeing a much, much better return rather than trying to get them to, you know, be a generalist. And in a business, you know, you sometimes just do stuff for the sake of it. It's not very often that you snap out of the, why are we doing this? I mean, one of the things that, you know, we saw was that we were just making so many ads, hundreds of them. And for whatever reason, they weren't making it to the front line, but we had such a good system on measuring the ads. And because we were ticking the boxes on all of the ads saying we hit the ads, that we thought everything was okay. But then we didn't check it in and say, well, why the fuck aren't they getting done at the front end? And so, you know, it's always what you want to do, or how I approach it, is you always question everything and you second guess it, okay, to test it. And if you don't operate like that, then you can just do the same shit every day without it ever actually wondering why you're doing it. And the fact is, that costs money. And if those resources can be redeployed, then, you know, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think the one thing from all of that to me is that there is a skill of being able to ask the right questions, because a lot of the time we ask the wrong questions of our business. So in that example, we were saying, how do we create more ads? But realistically, the answer that we were looking for was, how do we generate more leads? And generating more ads doesn't necessarily equate directly to generating more leads. So we're focused on one function of the business, trying to make that work, push it more, get more out of it. But that's not actually the objective. The objective is to get more inquiries into the business. And you can get lost in that. So then you go down this rabbit hole of trying to make one thing work really, really well, but that's not actually what the outcome of what it is that you're trying to do is. And I think there is this skill to me in entrepreneurship. It's being able to ask the right questions and exploring the answers of the right questions. Because you can provide an answer to a question, like, how do you produce more ads? You can get to the answer for that, but that's not actually what it is that your business wants. Mm-hmm, so I think that's an important thing. And the other thing is, you know, as everybody, but entrepreneurs, as business owners, we have finite resource in terms of time. It's always the big one, and attention. So if you can get isolated and focused on specifically one thing, that's why we're big on niches. It's if you deliver 100% of your attention onto one thing, and this comes with problems and solutions and systems and processes within business as well. If you can take 100% of your attention and put it into one thing, that's a potent amount of work and effort that you can inject into something and get a result from. So I think that's one thing. That's a couple of things that, for me at least, have been key things this year, is making sure that 100% of our attention is going into the correct stuff, because you've only got 100%. There's not 110%, it's not 120%, 100%. It's a finite resource. And also making sure that you're asking the right questions. You're not just trying to get an answer for something that's not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if you could fast forward 12 months and we were sat here in the same seat, what would you like to have achieved? And give me three simple answers, or one simple answer, within this business.
So without going into the specifics of the numbers, as you know, I like to go there, but effectively...
We ain't got all fucking day. So if you could just... That's why I said keep it specific, yeah? That's why I said keep it simple.
We won't ask Joe. But for me, my wants, more sales, happier customers, and more profit. Basically, that's what I want. I see that what it is that we're doing is good. I think we can deliver more and more stuff or at least more and more revenue to the front end by improving our marketing and sales processes, just to create linear growth. We can have happier customers by making sure that the the, well, I think the products are excellent anyway.
Well, you've answered the question, so that's good. Thank you. Okay.
We've got excellent.
You've gone deep. I said go short, not deep.
That's what I want. I want more sales, more profit. I mean, that's the overriding thing. I'm not in business. That's the.
Why do you want more profit?
Because that's the success metric. That's the thing that make that you're in it.
How much more?
Significantly more.
How much more?
I mean, to me, it is. It's the 35 thing. It's 100 million more. Pounds. If you could do, I genuinely believe this business, bottom line, 10 times multiple, 10 million pound profit, bottom line, that does the job for me.
Quite a few times. How many times? More?
More times.
Have you seen that?
No.
You know that guy?
Yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that senator, and they're asking the question, and he's like, so how many times? He goes, quite a few times.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, more.
More.
About that many times.
That reminded me of that. Yeah, about that many times.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, 10 million bottom line, 10 times multiple is 100 million pound business. Boom.
Well, I would like to see...
We didn't ask you. Go on, hurry up.
You know that I'm not going to go there. I don't know. It's been a long day. I'm starting to shut down. So my brain isn't really on overdrive. It's on reverse. So what would I like to see? I would like to see everybody in the business thriving, number one. I'd like to see everybody winning. I would like to see scale. Mm-hmm. And that means expansion of marketplaces. And I would like to see more of our trade business success stories become a fundamental part of the organization, delivering more training back to more people from the market. Because I think that's our key area of, you know, being able to expand the training and the nurturing and the results is getting more of you guys on board. And we were talking earlier about succession plans and, you know, what happens when businesses win and how do we take them to the next level and how do they come and help other people to win. And we're framing up some sort of competition at the moment where we're going to be putting out looking for our next trainer. Yeah, and how we're going to kind of do that is bring them down and do some competitions and see who we can test and et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be pretty fun. And I'm looking forward to doing that. And just making more great content. I think, you know, we've got a great opportunity with this new studio to be consistent. You know, and it's Friday afternoon, we're shooting this one on. And like I said, we've come off the back of a long board meeting. But we want this to be going out for you guys so you're, you know, in tune and you're on board and you're excited to keep showing up every week. Because remember, success is about showing up and it's about consistency. Just doing the same thing over and over again will naturally improve over time. And in the content space, I mean, I've learned a lot doing unfinished business. And I wish I knew it 10 years ago because I was always trying to make that piece of content that was going to bang. And in actual fact, it's about making content consistently, picking up the loyal viewers and the audience. And hopefully you guys are going to support us along the way and enjoy this content as well. But yeah, let's keep it short and sweet. And on this one, I think we'll say have a fantastic... whatever you're doing right now. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next Tuesday with more awesome content. So we'll see you all then. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Mastermind Trade Secrets podcast. If you want to find out how Trade Mastermind can help you further, head to our website trademastermind.co.uk and don't forget to like and subscribe.